This morning we read again from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, and I would guess that along with Psalm 23, the words from 1 Corinthians 13 are probably words from the Bible that we have heard most often over the years. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things abide, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, in this very room, there is enough love. This is one of the special places in life where we come to feel your presence, where we come to be surrounded by your love, where we come to soak up that love to meet the needs in our own lives. But this is also, O God, where we recognize that within ourselves, as much loved children of God, we have enough love to share not only with each other, but with a world in need. Help us, God, not only to recognize and accept your love, but then in turn to share it with your world. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So, I'm not sure what season it is out there today. I think it's supposed to be spring, and we're holding out hope for that. But I can tell you that another season has begun, and that's called wedding season. We had one here yesterday with 24 people in the wedding party. Imagine what chaos we expected, but I have to tell you, it was smooth and it was beautiful. I think that's a record for me in my years of presiding at weddings. Never seen that many people in a wedding party before. And of course, the start of wedding season means it's that time of year when I need to brush up on my reading of 1 Corinthians 13, because that's a staple at weddings, right? I don't usually argue with brides and grooms about their choice of readings or their choice of music for that fact, except for the time I found bales of hay and dressage jumps up the aisle of the church. So when couples ask me now, are there any restrictions, I say, yes, no bales of hay or dressage jumps. Other than that, we're fine. So I have no objection to that passage from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth being read at weddings, any more really than I object to listening to Ave Maria. I mean, if couples want to hear a prayer to the Blessed Virgin asking her to pray them into their eternal resting place on their wedding day, I'm good with that. But the interesting thing is, as much as we love to hear that passage read in reference to romantic love, to the way two people should strive to live their life together, that was not at all the original intent of the passage. So if St. Paul was not speaking at a premarital educational group for couples in Corinth, why the focus on love then? Why was it so important to him to remind the folk about the nature of true love? And as we have been asking ourselves during this Lenten period, what does that passage, what does St. Paul's words have to do with our life in community today? Well, if we listen carefully to the opening and closing words that we read today, we'd get a bit of a clue. All of that talk about noisy gongs and clanging cymbals and prophecy and giving one's body over to be burned and knowing only in part, those are all allusions both to pagan traditions, but also to those who smugly think that their spirit-given gift is the most important one to be endowed upon God's people. We talked a little bit about that last week. There was insistence on the part of some that certain gifts of the Spirit were to be valued above others, creating almost a sort of class system among the followers. And so in the face of such divisions and sort of competition, the reminder about love comes as sort of a harsh reality check. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, those words might sound like words written to affirm life-giving relationships that already exist, but they were written, really, as an attempt to save people from ugly divisions and exclusive claims on God's given spiritual gifts. So again, what are the lessons for us here at St. John's at this very moment in time in our life and ministry? Well, in some ways, I probably don't have to preach the rest of this sermon because you can probably figure it out for yourself. Just be loving and kind. But I think if I stopped here, you'd question what I've been doing with the rest of my week, so I feel the need to finish the sermon. I don't think it hurts any of us to be reminded about what love is, what God's love looks like, because that is, after all, the love that we are accepted to accept freely and without reserve, and then to share freely and without reserve with others. So first of all, let me say something you probably already know as well. There is no perfect human relationship. As I reminded one of our wedding couples yesterday, no two human beings can ever exist in relationship without their sometimes being unkind words spoken, without their sometimes being moments of jealousy, selfishness, impatience, and a multitude of other things that are not indicative of the kind of love that St. Paul holds up as the ideal. And so as we live together in Christian community, we should expect that none of our relationships will always and without fail be loving and kind. Now, if you are sitting there this morning thinking, but I have never felt anything but love for everyone here at St. John's, we need to get you on a team right away so you can experience that of which I speak. My mother used to say that after a contentious board meeting, she would sometimes hear my father in his sleep saying over and over again, "Idiots, idiots." That's maritime for idiots. Now, I try not to pass that sort of judgment on parishioners after meetings, but you know, there, I will admit, there has never been a church I have served where I have not gone head to head with someone over something. It's human nature that we will not always agree. And that sometimes our noses will be put out of joint, and sometimes we will, sadly enough, even speak harsh words to each other, or worse actually, about each other. It's not that our teams here at St. John's are nasty places to be, quite the opposite, in fact, but we're all strong people, aren't we? We all know what we want to accomplish, and let's face it, sometimes we don't agree on that. And sometimes the conversations can be very difficult. But the difference with those of us who profess faith in Jesus Christ is that we absolutely must, without fail and always, strive for that love of which St. Paul speaks. We are the ones who cannot make excuses for our behavior. We are the ones who must strive not to hold grudges, not to fall into patterns of behavior that are unhealthy. We are the ones who, even when relationships are strained and broken, still strive to resolve those differences in ways that are constructive, not destructive. We are the ones who, even when anger surfaces, try to express it in ways that will mend, not further alienate and injure. We are the ones who, even in the midst of our society's insistence that we need to look after ourselves, must reach out instead to others, constantly considering the needs of others before our own. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always perseveres, love never fails. We have a lot of work ahead of us here at St. John's as we get our new church council working to its full potential. We're being very deliberate in our desire to involve more people in the work and in the decision-making. And wherever two or three are gathered, there will always be misunderstanding, there will be hurt, there will be conflict. It's the way it is with human relationships. But because we are called by and empowered by the love and grace of Jesus Christ, love will always be the norm that guides and directs us in our work together. One of the prayers in the wedding here yesterday ended with these words, and I offer them as a prayer for us in this Christian community here at St. John's as we exercise our life and ministry together under God's guidance. For our community, for ourselves, and for each other, we pray that we may accept the challenge placed before us today and make love our way of life.